15, chapter verses 1 through 15.
1 through 10.
1 through 10? I'm sorry, 1 through 10. Now that all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I have lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Thus ends the reading.
So, my mother and I went to a local department store to do some shopping. I don't remember why we were there, but it must not have been anything for me because I got bored. And in my stubbornness, I wandered off to find something more interesting, like the toys. But when I decided it was time to go back and find home base, Mom was gone. She was not where I had left her. I looked around and I couldn't find her. At that moment, panic set in. But luckily, it only lasted for a moment or two, because I was confident that if I didn't find her, she would find me. But what if I hadn't known that she would come looking for me? What would have happened next? After panic would follow loneliness and sadness, the fear of being lost forever, the fear of dying alone, and then desperation, a sad resignation to live a lost life. But I was lucky. I knew my mom would find me, and find me she did. But what would it be like to be lost and to know that no one was looking for you? What would it be like to be this little yellow napkin? This napkin has been in our lost and found box for I don't know how long, since before I got here. If I were this little yellow napkin, I'd be pretty sad, because I know I'm pretty sure that no one is going to come looking for me. No one will rescue me from oblivion. No one will party over my return. Or what about this little pocket cross? Or this little airplane toy? Or these little readers with the sparklies on the side? They're plus two, by the way, if you're wondering if they're yours. They were belongings of someone, and then they were lost and forgotten about. Maybe we simply need to rename it the Lost Box. Forget about the found. No one is reclaiming these. No one seems to notice that they're gone. Nobody cares. Can you imagine what it feels like to be them? In today's gospel reading, Jesus is criticized once again by the religious leaders of the day. Those smug, self-righteous folk who have always been good, always went to church, always done the right thing. They've got no tolerance for the drunks, the hard-living ones. They have no concern for the chronically unemployed or the working poor. It's their fault anyway. They didn't have to drink. They could have stayed in school and gotten better jobs. What concern is it of theirs? They didn't have time to worry about those people. And here's Jesus, this supposed man of God, who's eating and drinking and partying with them. The Pharisees said, "It is easy to tell John's disciples, for they are always sacrificing and fasting. It's easy to spot them because they always look miserable. But you and your guys, you're always partying. What's up with that?" And so Jesus answers them with two short parables. One about a shepherd who has 100 sheep, loses one, leaves the 99 to go look for the one. And when he finds it, he carries it on his shoulders. He doesn't just take his shepherd's staff and kind of poke it in the backside and push it along back over to the group. He picks it up and carries it on his shoulders. And he calls together his shepherd buddies and he has a party to rejoice over the one that's been found. The other parable is about a woman who has 10 coins and she loses one. She scours the whole house, overturning furniture, everything, looking for that coin. And when she finds it, she invites her neighbors, her whole neighborhood, to have a party to celebrate the finding of that one lost coin. And Jesus says, "So I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. There is a party in heaven when the lost are brought home." The good news, the gospel in this passage, is that the lost ones need God too. And not only do they need God, but God wants and needs them. God seeks them out, searches high and low, calls to them, coaxes them, and saves them. And there's a party in heaven when one little lost one comes home. This is good news. You are never really gone. You are not forgotten. God has come looking for you and desperately wants you back. This is good news. If you're lost. But what about us? Well, maybe we were lost at one time. Maybe you've always been at home. What are we supposed to do? What is the message for us, the ones who aren't lost? Jesus' message to us, as it was to his inquisitors, is that we're the neighbors, we're the shepherds and the other sheep. We're supposed to party when the lost are found. We're supposed to celebrate their return, rejoice, and be glad. And we're supposed to go with God and look for them, call them, invite them, love them home. We're supposed to go out and get them, bring them home, and have a party in their honor. Former Dean of Chapel and professor at Duke University, William Willimon, once held a weekend retreat for some of the eager young minds in his class, the skeptics, the philosophers, the ones who like to think and talk about religion and theology, but who aren't quite ready to commit. At this retreat, he showed them videos and they had discussions, and he sought to persuade them to commit their lives to following Jesus. At the end of the retreat, one young man came forward, made his confession of faith, and wanted to be baptized. After another month of instruction, on the weekend of graduation, Willimon was to baptize him. The rest of the group was to gather and witness his baptism. The day arrived and one of the members of the group called Willimon aside and said, "Dr. Willimon, just to put your mind at ease, I want you to know that I have already gotten a keg of beer for the post-baptismal party." "A keg of beer?" Willimon asked. "It never occurred to me to get a keg of beer for a baptism." "Why are you always calling us students irresponsible?" asked the student. "See, you didn't even think about the beer." Willimon went on to say that he believed that was probably the first baptismal keg party in the history of the church. a party, a joyous celebration. That is what is supposed to happen when a sinner repents, when a lost one comes home. That's what we are supposed to do. But what are we to do if we don't feel like it? What are we to do if we're more like the big brother in the prodigal son story? What if we've always been the good one, done what we're supposed to, followed the rules, colored within the lines, followed the discipline, and went to church every Sunday, got baptized in the fourth, fifth, or sixth grade? I don't remember anybody having a party for me. Why should I party for him? Well, maybe you've forgotten something. Maybe you've forgotten that this is your brother. And that if you don't search for him, if you don't call to him, if you don't welcome him home, he will be forever lost to you. And one day will come when you won't be able to get him back. It'll be too late to change your mind. Besides, even if you think about it from a purely personal point of view, think about this. How does it feel to be resentful? How does it feel to be smugly self-righteous? When is the last time you can remember having a resentment party and laughing until the sun came up? When is the last time that being self-righteous and shaming someone else truly brought you pure joy? And then, think about how it feels to truly rejoice. How does it feel to be happy and joyous and festive, to dance like nobody's watching, to let your hair down along with your inhibitions and join in the celebration? Jesus calls us to do the latter rather than the former. And frankly, I'd rather party anyway. It's just more fun.